while the, when the music was going forth, I felt like maybe I was going to go in a different direction than what I thought I was going to start out the message with today. So I just want to say that, you know, when we hear the songs, and I agree so much with what you said, Joe, you hear that last song, and you can't help but just be stirred up if you allow yourself to be inspired. Does everybody know what it means to be inspired? Somebody, tell me what that means. What's that mean? To be inspired. Motivated. Yeah, what else? There's an excitement usually that's involved with that. What else?
You're sparked for action.
There's a spark for action, isn't there? There's something that lights a fire inside of you, right? To have that inspiration. And really, that term, to be inspired, it means to be breathed into. It's the Holy Spirit breathing in something to you. Now, when we sing these songs, you know, and we're talking about what the Lord's done and what He did on the cross, doesn't that, when you actually think about it, if it isn't just words that are passing through your head, but when you really think about that, isn't there an inspiration? Isn't there hope that comes into your heart? Is there strength that comes into not only your spirit but into your body?
Yes.
I was standing there, and I was tired from the last couple of days, and I just felt strength coming back into my body. You know, that's what the Lord does to us when we're really making connection. We get inspired. And what can we do when we're moving in that kind of inspiration? You know, we have our inspiration night every second Sunday in the evenings. But I don't know about you, but I like to be inspired as much as I can be inspired. I want to feel breathed into.
Right.
Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you love it when you sense the presence of God? You know, lots of times, you know, this is a life of faith. We have the evidence that God is in our life. So we have that kind of evidence, and we don't have to continually have that evidence every single second of the day. But it's wonderful when He blows on us and He inspires us and He shows us the way to go. And He gives us hope in an area. And he says, stop doing that. You're killing yourself. Move away from that. Get closer to me. Isn't that right? Yeah. This is so important. We're talking about, I asked the Lord, well, what's the message supposed to be for Palm Sunday, you know, and here's Jesus riding in to Jerusalem, and He knows, even with all the throngs of people that are proclaiming Him to be the Messiah, that was what they were doing. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us now, Son of David. Save us now, Messiah of Israel. That's what they were saying. In their culture, in their language, Jesus knew what they were saying, and they knew what they were saying. They were recognizing that here comes the King, and He's riding on a donkey, just like the prophet Zechariah said, Zechariah 9:9. All of this was going on, and everybody recognized that, and Jesus knew that He had something else to do first.
Yeah.
It was a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But within a week, He went through all kinds of torture and death, and then was resurrected a week later. Amazing what He had to go through. He had to be ready for that. And when I think of this time, what comes to me is this whole thing about being prepared for the coming of the Lord. You might not want to hear another message on being prepared. But this is what the Lord gave me, and this is what you're going to hear. You know? I want us
to look here. If you go... So I'm changing something here, so just hold on for a second. Yeah, I'm just going to go to Matthew 24.
So, here we are. Here, back then, the Jews are looking for the Messiah. They recognize, some of them recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. They hail him, Hosanna, son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're excited. They're expecting the kingdom to come to Israel. What's it like now in us waiting for the second coming? We're waiting for him to come and rapture us and take us out of here. But there's some things that have to happen first. If we're just waiting for an event that we have no control over, if there isn't anything in between that we are supposed to do, then you know what? We get flabby and we get lazy. This is going to be a practical message I'm going to give you here today. We need practicality in the way we're approaching a heavenly thing. Now it says here, you're in Matthew 24? Let's go to verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour in which your Lord doth come. Are you ready? Am I ready for the Lord to come and take us right now? And you know what's in our minds, because we know we're Christian and we know that his blood covers all our sins. Oh yeah, I'm ready. I thought I was ready for certain things. Gary and I went out on an overnight hike, and I'm ready for anything. Why are you laughing, Diane? And you know, things happen between now and when the Lord's going to come. We don't know when that's going to be. And there's all kinds of events that happen in your life between now and then. Right? And that's why God tells us, you know, we're supposed to watch. We're supposed to be ready for the things that are coming on the earth. And what's funny, I think, about Christianity, is that there's a general knowledge. There's just a general knowledge. Oh yeah, things are going to get bad, but the Lord's coming. We don't know when. We don't know exactly what it is that we're going to be going through. But, you know, I'm just trusting God that we're going to get through. How many of you feel that way? You know, you feel that way, don't you? There has to be a beginning of our trusting God. And that beginning is that you are trusting your whole being to a faithful Creator to do the right things for you. It might not be the things that you want to happen. You know? Think of the Christians that are in other parts of the world right now. Our fellow brothers and sisters. We think here in America, oh, well, God wouldn't let us go through all kinds of problems. But yet, our brothers and sisters in Iraq, Syria, all over China, all over the world, they're being tortured. They're being persecuted for their faith. They're being crucified. What are you going to say here?
60 countries.
60 countries.
Christians are being persecuted.
Yeah.
60 countries. What makes us think, does God love us more than them?
You hear that?
Look what's happening in this country now. Look at the direction. God has already said, I take my covering away from you. Look what we've done with abortion, last year with the gay marriage. Yeah. His protection is away from us.
How many of you believe what you just said? How many of you know and can see, because you have eyes to see, that God has taken a step back in terms of the protection that we have here as a country? I know you all know this, you know, but sometimes, you know, God needs to kind of focus and say, wake up here. You need to know what's coming up ahead. And our minds, our fleshy minds, don't even want to think about why do you want to talk about this? It's the Easter season. Can't you give me something nice today, Malcolm? And believe me, I was fighting doing this. I'm like, no, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Everybody thinks I'm just, you know, some crabby Jeremiah that always, you know, it's bad this and bad that. But that's what's going on in the world. And we do have to see that and draw on the life and the inspiration and the strength that God gives, because we can get through all of the things that we have to get through. God is faithful like that, isn't he?
Yes.
But there are bad things that are going on in this world. And we really want to be people that really are ready for those kinds of things. I noticed that on the little hike that we had, and we camped, and Gary had a tent that had a little wood stove in it. I thought, man, this is going to be a piece of cake. And we built these little tripods and made seats. Gary had these cloth things to have cloth seat that you could sit in, and I said to him, it was right around time we were going to eat, and I was sitting in it, leaning back, and said, man, this is living. And I don't think it was maybe 10 minutes later, the back end of my tripod slipped, and bam, I went down real hard, you know, and my hip still hurts, you know, from that. And that was just the beginning of some things that started happening.
The beginning of sorrows.
The beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. You know? And this is nothing. You know, these are little things, but I want to tell you what was really important. Later on, I didn't even notice that my hip was really hurting until after the middle of the night when I woke up and it was all stiff and hurting. Oh, it was terrible. It was a miserable night for me. And it was cold. Yeah. But one thing that came across real strong to me was you have to be mentally prepared. If you think, oh, well, God's just gonna take care of me and not have anything that you're getting from God because you're not listening, number one. You're just obtuse because you're living your life and thinking that, well, God will protect me when the time comes. You know, that time never seems to come. God will tell me what to do when I need it. Do you think that God's already told us some things?
Yeah.
I think God's already told. I mean, at least 5 years ago, we were talking about this whole thing about surviving and being able to be a blessing to one another, and also to anybody else that's in our sphere, because people are going to need some light to go to when things get really dark. And we can be really selfish in the way we think about things, because it all surrounds us. But we need to be ready for the things. I don't think we can even start to conceive some of the bad things that could happen here in this country. I don't think we can. That's never going to happen here. And the more I see on TV, the more I become convinced. Oh yeah, it could happen here. And if I just go, oh well, God will take care of me, and that's the end of it. You and I aren't going to be mentally prepared. We really need to, when God starts to say, you know, gather together more. Get together. Learn things that you're going to need to know. You know, the scripture talks about the first four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's all there, and God says the first four horsemen are just the beginning of sorrows. That's not even the tribulation yet. You get this? There's things that we're going to be going through, you know, and we need to. So what are some of those things? Well, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be famine. Well, never in the United States. See, we think we're comfortable here. Remember last week, what part of the message was, for those who are living carelessly, for those that are living self-satisfied, everything is just fine. We don't really think, well, is there anything I should be doing to start getting ready for the very things that God says in His Word are going to happen, and we just go, well, that's probably sometime way in the future. I'm not going to be concerned about it now. It's like the ant that through the summer gets all prepared, yeah. And the grasshoppers, they're just grasshoppering along. and then the end of the summer comes, and then now it's a little too late to start getting yourself ready for the very things that the Word says are going to happen, and we just put it off because we don't want to think about it. We don't want to consider that. We're living in the greatest country in the world, I believe that. We're in the greatest country in the world. Why should we even be thinking about this? Why be so gloomy about this? I'm not being gloomy at all. I'm just saying, God has said what is going to happen, and we look at those things and think that somehow that's not going to affect us. It's affecting all the other Christians in the world. Right now, persecution and famine and other things, and that's spreading, you know, around this world. It's coming here. But people don't want to see that. Gary, you want to tell me?
I'm just thinking, you're just saying the Department of America, what we've done here as Christians, or not done, especially with abortion,
yes,
all the things that, you know, we've basically allowed. We didn't do our part. If God doesn't act upon that on our country, then He owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology.
Yeah.
So you know
we're worse off than that.
He not only is lifting His arms away from us and saying, "Okay, this is the way you want it, have it your way," but you look at all the little parts, the GMO. The planting
and the fruit,
yeah. The food, all of this stuff. I mean, if you just look at all of this, it's a big, big picture. And you add it all up,
yeah.
We're heading for something really huge in this country. And as you're saying, there's Christians right now that are having it very, very badly. And we're seeing it,
yeah.
But we don't want to see it, so we don't see it. Yeah. We know it's there, but you know, go on YouTube and look at some of these countries and what the slaughter that's happening. Nobody wants to see that.
Slaughter. You guys know what that word? You know what that
Nobody
word means?
Wants to
slaughter.
See this.
Yeah.
They don't want to see it. But it's happening.
Yeah. Even Jew Christians.
These are our brothers and sisters. Even babies. Our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered. And we're doing the same thing we've done with the abortion.
Yeah.
The gay marriage.
Blind eye.
And ISIS is even training the young kids to behead other kids.
Yes. So anybody has a mind of saying, you know what, God's going to take care of us, I'm not worried about this, I'm not going to think about this, you're fooling yourself.
Yes. I think
we need to just at least say, okay, what do we need to do as Christians to help each other?
Yeah.
Before any of this stuff happens. And if we are raptured prior to this, glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
At least we took measures. Mm-hmm. and we're helping our brothers and sisters. That's what we're called to do.
I think all of us.
We're not here for ourselves.
No, we're not. We're not here for ourselves. I think we're, you know, how many of you have read Jonathan Cahn's books or saw anything with, you know, videos? Just a few people? Jonathan Cahn?
No, you need to mention him.
The Harbinger?
Yeah.
The Harbinger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You know, that's just right out there, and it's very biblically based, and I think that most people, and I know I've talked a lot about this over the last few years, and maybe it's the enemy that speaks to me, saying, you know, they're tired of hearing you talk about this, just talk about something else, but yet I get moved back into this, and I can't help myself. When I feel the Spirit of God telling me that we need to take a new look, a fresh look at what's really going on in our world, in your own life, and do you just hear this and just kind of go your own way again? There's God gives us enough time to get ourselves ready for what needs to be ready. You're not gonna have you know, if you just put off thinking about what we can do and what we're gonna do today. I'm gonna be finished here real soon. I think there just needs to be some kind of conversation. I'm gonna point something out here in the Book of Malachi. there really needs to be a conversation. We don't want to talk about it. We're uncomfortable. Maybe we don't understand it enough. Maybe you think I'm a loony bin, a loony tune that's caught in one particular portion of something, and yet we're in the last days. I think I've asked everybody in here, do you believe that you're in the end times? How many of you do? How many do you believe? Do you believe that we're in the last days? And you have your reasons why, and hopefully your scriptural reasons. You see the fulfillment of things that are said to have happened, that are going to happen at the end of the age. I'm convinced. I think that most of you are convinced of that. And it's like there's a fog then after that realization that we think that's all we need to know. Oh, we're in the end times. That's all I need to know. Jesus will come back. Everything's going to be fine. And yet there's all these other things that are there between now and when Jesus comes. Yes?
I just want to say, God never built an ark. He told Noah, hey, you might get a little
Noah to build the ark.
You might want to build a boat.
Well, just like in the days of Noah. I mean, Scripture tells us.
And the Scripture tells us that.
We're going to be like in the days of Noah. And look what happened with everybody disbelieving that we were going to get this rain, this all of this. He's building up and making fun of him and being ridiculed.
Oh, they make fun of preppers now.
And, you know, it's just the fact that we need to just at least look at it for what it really is. If people then would have done it, you know.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
We're not talking about the whole church bugging out, okay? That isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about up here. I'm talking about right here.
There may come a time, but you and I have to have it up here first. And that's only going to come if you ask God about it. And we talk about it. You know, people want to have a practical message. This is a practical message that we're going to be talking about. Because these are things we have to do now. It's a spiritual thing that we end up doing that carries us into acting and doing certain things. It's not just up in our mind or in our spirit. Our mind and spirit get into a place of inspiration which inspires us then to go and do what God says for us to do. There's a doing that is involved here. And we will be doing things.
There's a special thing at the end of the age for the church to do. All through the 2,000 years, the main thing has been bring people to Christ. That's always going to be the main focus of the church is to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ.
Malcolm?
But that's not the only thing, especially at the end of the age, that the church has to be a light for. Yeah.
I just think that, you know, going backwards, we're not even able, as we should, go out and speak to others about Christ and who He is. Mm-hmm. That's going to come first. Because if we don't have that within us to be able to go out and really step out, like you're saying, we've got to do something. First of all, we've got to do something, yes. We've got to tell our neighbors, and we've got to tell our friends, and we've got to tell just somebody that we see on the street.
Yeah.
We're afraid to do that.
Yeah, if there's the fear of even talking about Christ, that's the first step.
That's the first step. Mm.
But I'll tell you what, there's more to it than that.
Yes, but that's got to get done first.
You guys, you've got, how long have many of you been Christians?
Forever.
5 years? 10 years? 15 years? 20 years? 25 years?
She said a few months.
But most people in here, I mean, you've been a Christian for at least 5, right? Everybody in here right now? Except the baby.
How about 50?
How about a Christian 50 years? Is that you, Bob? 50? 30? 40? You know?
45.
And we're still afraid to talk?
Well, you might get sued now.
You know?
That's got to bubble up from inside.
Like Joe said, you hear the words of that song. Don't you feel inspired? Don't you want to go and say something to people that need to hear something like this? But we're afraid we're going to offend them. We're afraid that we're going to not have the right words to say. You know, I don't know what it is. The right timing, we're looking for that door to open, and that's always important, you know? But if it never gets done, then you got to think, oh, something else is stopping me up here.
Sometimes it's too much thinking. You're thinking too much.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be thinking. You're supposed to be acting.
Supposed to be talking to God, yes. Right? You're supposed to be, Lord, You see that coworker and you look at that person and you need to look at him as Jesus sees them. Lord, should I go and talk with them about you? Mm-hmm. Got to ask the question. Because you want the guidance from the Holy Spirit, not just you. Right? This is a very, very important message. The Lord's coming back.
Yes.
He wants us. And a glorious day, you know, that's going to happen. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
It's more important on how you act and how you wiggle your tongue. People look at you and they draw the conclusion, not by what your mouth says, but what you say.
Your actions. Speak louder than your words.
You go to a lot of places and people won't look at you eye to eye. They go to other places and people look at you and nod.
Our lives, right? It's our lives. That's
walk
about what I'm
saying.
They
have to teach you about Jesus.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
Well, who's he, you know?
Right.
And, well, he does pretty good. He lives a decent life.
I think we've all had enough opportunity to start walking in this a little more. Steve?
Yeah, and James 3 talks about if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life.
Yes.
Then it goes on to say, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
Yeah.
That comes right after about talking about the tongue.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's not words necessarily that,
right,
that set the example of how you live.
It's words and how you live. Exactly. There's a scripture in toward the end of Matthew 24. It's verse 44. Right after that 42 that I just read a little bit ago. It says, therefore, you be ready also, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man is going to come. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him food in due season? Oh, wow. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, finds so doing. We're to feed each other. We're to inspire one another by the way we live, by our actions, by our encouraging words, by listening to God. Isn't it wonderful when you see somebody that's just hearing from God and being obedient? Doesn't that just give you a good example? Gee, I'd like to be more like that. Yeah? And it says, and down in verse 48, but if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and he begins to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and he will cut him asunder and appoint for him his portion with the hypocrites. The pretenders is what that means. You pretend to be a Christian. That's kind of a ooh. That gets you thinking a little bit. This isn't to scare anybody. It's to look at reality. To look at what's happening in this world. Our minds do not want to have to think about that and make changes. But we need to be ready. Why does the Lord tell us that we need to have our minds ready if we don't have to have our minds ready? Have you ever thought of that? There's a readiness that we need to have as people. So what I'm going to do now, because I wanted to cut this short. Sorry, didn't quite cut it short. Let's go back to the book of Malachi. I'm going to close with this, and then maybe we'll talk, maybe we won't. That's going to be up to us, I guess. It says here, chapter 4. I'm gonna jump up into chapter 3, possibly too. Chapter 4, Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 4, starting verse 1. For behold, the day comes that will burn like an oven. Last night we got the fire started in the stove inside the tent, little metal stove, and that thing was cherry red, burning like an oven, you know. You like that, huh? The day is going to come that's going to burn like an oven. It's going to be hot. I saw that cherry red. You think I was, oh, look at that pretty color. I think I'm going to touch that pretty color. No, I had enough sense not to touch something that's too hot. And the day is coming that's going to burn like an oven, it says. And all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be like stubble. You throw a little tiny piece of stubble, a little tiny, 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 tiny little branch, and you put that in there, and that thing is burned right up, just bam, just like that.
Malcolm, where are you?
Malachi chapter 4. Still in verse 1. No. And the day shall come that will burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch. And then verse 2 says this, but you, unto you, who fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness, righteousness is involved here, isn't it? The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth my version says grow up as calves of the stall. I think other versions, and I think what the actual meaning of the Hebrew words is, to be cast forth from the stall. You know that song? Yeah. There's a song that goes with this verse.
Yeah, we never sang it here.
That was in August. Oh, because I had that in the back of my mind. Of being cast forth from the stall. What that means is, you know, here it is. It's winter time, and farmers will keep the livestock inside more than in the summertime. They can get them out. So these young calves that are born, they want to get out of the stall. They want to be let free. And to cast forth from the stall means opening those stall doors, and these calves would run out and they'd kick up their back feet, and they were so happy to get out of the stall and actually be free. Really be free. And that's what this is talking about here. Those that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And you will go forth and be cast forth as calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. We'll talk about that some other time. All right, so this I'm getting to the last verse I'm going to read. Verse 16 up in chapter 3. Just go back up a few verses from beginning of chapter 4, verse 16 of chapter 3 of Malachi. Says something else about people who fear the name of the Lord. Who fear the Lord. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. That's what I want to talk about. I want to hear from people, because I think it's going to be, as every joint supplies, and as we think about these things. There's all the stuff that we hear in the Word of God, that we can read in the Word of God, of things that are coming. There's pestilences, and there's the earthquakes, and there's all kinds of disaster that's going to be all around. How do we help one another out? How do we help our neighbor? Are you mentally ready for those kinds of things? Have you asked God to have yourself ready for that? It takes an asking, and talking amongst brothers and sisters. Do you think that the only thing that you have to do as a Christian is to witness Christ, is to witness Jesus, or is there going to be other ways? I mean, do you think like that? Do you think that the light that you have inside of you, Christ in you, there's not going to be other things that are going to come forth from you in an inspired kind of way that is going to lead people to not only spiritual safety, but physical safety as well? You know, Paul says to the Thessalonians, I pray that the Lord preserve you, preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body. He wants us, every part of us, to be preserved, to make it to the end. The rapture says that there's going to be people that are going to die in Christ, but there's going to be people that are going to be preserved. They're going to be there and be alive and remain when the Lord comes for his church. Right?
Yeah.
And Paul says, I pray that that your spirit, soul, and body will be preserved unto the coming of the Lord. We need to be thinking about those things that God would direct for us to be alive. Is there anybody here that would like to be alive when the Lord returns?
Yeah, sure.
I think most people would. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you'd like to be dead because it says the dead in Christ rise first. So, all right, go ahead.
Hosea 4:6, my people are being destroyed for their lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. And that essentially, and you know, to say this right now, we're talking about spirit and soul first, you know. But there's a saying about talking about salvation that's talking about you being rescued from harm, being rescued, being taken out. You know, right there at the end of when it talks in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, Jesus says, pray that you be found worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. That's interesting. To be able to run away from, able to hide from. It doesn't mean being taken up out of the way. It's talking about having a hidden aspect. Isn't that something? Now, if you want to consider all of what the scriptures say, it might be important for us to say, oh, there must be some kind of aspect there that I haven't even thought of before. Or maybe I've just spiritualized it away and aren't listening really to the Spirit of God the way I need to. And then generalize and say, well, God will just take care of it. And then that takes your responsibility to keep hearing from God away from you. That's what happens to us. All right, so go ahead.
While we're talking about this, I'm just thinking how we prayed that the body of Christ would be unified.
Yes.
And notice how the enemy has kept us distracted so that we're busy in our own lives.
Yes.
He's kept us fighting and bickering against each other.
Yeah.
So that we don't do these things that we're going to have to be doing.
Really productive things.
Productive, like helping others.
Yeah.
Being aware. Okay, we've got a drug epidemic. Okay, what is God going to be calling us to do?
Yeah.
To bring light to these people. But when there comes a time when there's no food or there's no shelter or whatever, how are we going to open up our homes to tens, hundreds of people? I don't know. But it's going to be very selfless.
Yes.
And we've got to fight against the enemy's lies. Or our selfishness.
Yes.
To do what we're supposed to do now.
Yeah.
And we should be building each other up all the time. You know, and knowing what's going on with our neighbors and our loved ones to help each other.
Yeah.
It starts now.
Exactly. Yeah, it isn't down the line, well, God will tell me what to do. No, He's already told us a lot of what to do. There's an example. You know, something else, Bob.
Right now, there's, I think, 100-some-odd denominations of Christians.
Yeah.
And we don't talk to one another. I don't like him, I don't like him, and I don't like him, and he don't like me. Well, isn't that divide and separate? Isn't that what Satan is up to? The church is kind of promoting Satan in a way. Why don't we all get along?
Yeah, we have our differences. There's certain things that make a difference to people, but hopefully, and I think that lots of us feel like, well, that person doesn't believe what I believe about such and such, but they're still a brother. And we're going to get along with one another, and there needs to be that reaching out there.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Some other things? What? From what you know, what's happening in our country right now? What do we do as a church? We have a thing here about me. You know, we have a drug problem here in Burlington, That's for sure. There's something right there.
I brought a lot of people to the Lord, broken people, drug addicts and alcoholics, and I've only been a Christian maybe 7 years, and I can't, like, I planted the seeds, but I need the knowledge myself. Now I have to take it to the next level, like Gary's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, really? You know, so, but people have their parts. Like, I don't know if I can ever discern the Bible as good as, you know, I struggle with that, so I do need prayer with that. But I do, like, for instance, this drug epidemic, you know, people are, like, praising the cops, and my heart is like, can we pray for the sick and suffering?
Absolutely.
You know, yes, that's my heart, and
you know, that's someone's child.
I went to high school with the girl, and you know, so I had it on my heart to reach out to her, and I will write to this girl in church. I will get her a Bible, but I guess what I'm saying is everyone has their parts, and I think
exactly.
My heart is to just bring them to the Lord, because I know how to do that. Basically, you know, 90% broken people.
Yeah.
But I just pray that their seeds planted and they want to be more and to know about the end days.
Yeah.
Because I fail at that. Because I don't. I'm not.
Yeah, and see, that's all right. We all have a part to play.
That's right.
And that's why we have the body of Christ. And there's some people that just have a special inspiration to bring people to Christ. Whereas others have an inspiration to help them grow in certain areas
where
of their life.
Where is that in Scripture?
What's that?
It tells us that. Somebody plants and somebody waters
yeah.
and somebody, you know, we're not expected to do anything.
But I really thank God for carrying my life for that. Because it's just...
Yeah, there's a balance. Yeah. Something else from anybody?
Rachel's had her hand up.
Well, she keeps putting it down. You look over at her and then her hands
down. No, because you don't answer. That's okay.
I just think that we should repent every day.
Mm-hmm.
We should ask God what He wants us to do. And my thing this morning on my devotional that killed me was to hear from God. Cause no, Psalm 143:8. It will cause me to hear Your word and be thankful for You.
Yeah.
And that I am His. And so that we should pray that every day. Here I am, Lord. Guide me to where You want me to be. But I also think, you talk about Christians being divided. I think Christians are pushing away the world. They're looking and they're pointing fingers. And we're not seeing Christ in people. And it doesn't matter what people do. If they're not saved, they're going to hell. And if they're saved, then God will work. And God, if You can get them to believe in Christ, then He's the author, and He's the finisher of our faith. And He will do that rest. Don't bother with, oh, you got to change that, you got to change that, you got to change that. Come to know my Lord so that He can set you free. That's all.
We're supposed to talk to one another. Those who hear the Lord speak often to one another. Joe?
Yeah, I also believe that we need to lead by example. Too many people sit there and say they're Christians, but then when they're outside the church, they don't act anymore.
Right.
Or they show a different side. People see that and sit there and go, well, if that's what Christianity's about, I don't need it. You know, it is difficult to be good all the time. But God gives us the will to do it. You know, you can be a Christian, you can still have a sense of humor, but you can't be a Christian outside swearing and things like that. But people look at that and say, well, what's the difference between that and me? And so I think an example, by leading by example, is what we need to do. I mean, none of us are perfect, but if we lean on each other, it comes together.
I think too we need to, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think we need to keep our eyes open for opportunities. A lot of times we're so distracted by what we're doing that we might not see what God has put right there in front of us to do. You know, I mean, you talk about, well, one person has this gift and one person has that gift. Well, each day, you know, if you know you have the gift of bringing people to the Lord, you know, then you're looking for that opportunity each day. You're asking God, please show me that person. You know, it might be one, might be more, to talk with. Because I know that I'm part of the body of Christ. You've given me this gift. Now help me to use it. Show me where I can use it.
Okay.
I'm guilty of that. I just, you know, oh, I got to do this. Got to go from A to B, and you know, and might not see over here who needs the help.
Great.
I think that we need more faith when we read our Bibles, and the Lord says, don't do this, don't do that. Watch your tongue. We just read over it, or I do anyway, until He hits me over the head. And the faith is that when you read the Bible, you know that God says, walk this way.
Mm.
And it's so easy to just walk by the words and not do it, I guess.
Amber?
It's kind of what Kathy was saying. I know there was a missionary that spoke one time at our old church, and they said, you know, don't look for the big things. Look in your own backyard and be faithful to the small things, and let the Lord teach you and equip you, and let Him expand your influence that way. That we can be so busy looking, thinking, oh, I have to do this or what other people are doing, that we forget that God's put people probably in our own backyard that specifically for us to minister to.
Yes.
Let me ask a question. All of this is good. If there's going to be catastrophic things, do you believe there's going to be catastrophic things? Is there anything that we as the body of Christ can be doing, not only to help ourselves, but to be someone that could help somebody in terms of, let's say, there's a famine in the land. Do you have extra food? Are you buying an extra little this or that and saving up a little bit? That would help you. You know, if there's a run on the stores because of something that's happened and people are rushing into the grocery stores. You ever seen pictures of grocery stores in other countries where there's hardly anything on the shelves? You know? Could that happen here in the United States? Yeah, it sure can. It has in locations. So what do you think that God hasn't said for you to be thinking, I probably should be prepared to some degree to be able to help my family or my neighbor, somebody that might need some extra food. We're not just thinking of ourselves here, but aren't we going to be who people are going to need to go to? And you talk about an opportunity to share Christ when Christ has made you prepared for these different situations. Well, what made you do that? Well, the Lord shows us in His Word that these things were going to happen. And He spoke to my heart, and I wanted to be ready, and I wanted to be ready to help whoever. And then you share the gospel. You share the gospel. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen with this. So you want to be a witness in all kinds of areas that maybe you haven't thought of before. And I really think that it would be important for people in this community to be people that. Have extra food? You ever think of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm always going to go to the grocery store. There's always going to be food in the stores. But yet that isn't what it says is going to happen.
this isn't to scare any of us. Well, God will be with us if we're listening and if we're there to help one another. Right? All right, Kevin.
And it's not just material things, it's also knowledge.
Yeah.
I was looking on the internet yesterday and saw a way to heat a room.
This is great.
A small room with just clay pots and some tea lights.
Yes.
Stand up. Stand up. Turn around. I didn't say just once. Right, no. So you're going to be that obedient. So go ahead. Just say that because I don't know if everybody heard exactly what you said.
Well, just more than just fit. Some of us, you know, might not be able to store up a lot of food, but we can at least store some knowledge that somebody else might not have. For instance, Bob, I mean, he's just a fount of knowledge, you know, for all sorts of things. And so are a lot of people.
Yeah,
here.
So say what you saw.
Well, I saw on the internet a way to heat a room with just some clay pots and some tea lights. It's amazing. And apparently you have to work it out because it doesn't always work. But there are some ways that people have done it. So you just put tea lights in underneath two pots and the heat rises and you can get up to 300, 400 degrees heat coming up from the little hole in the bottom of the pot and the room, apparently. So we're going to go out and buy some pots today and see if it works.
We're going to try
it
out. You might think, what are we talking about this kind of stuff for in church? Well it's a practical way for you to preserve your spirit, soul, and body. You might need that knowledge at some point. You might.
If there's a hurricane and the
a hurricane?
Whatever.
You know, EMP, you know? What's that?
Electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah. If ISIS explodes a thermonuclear device a mile up in the sky, it'll knock out all the power in the whole country.
Solar flare will do that too.
Yeah.
All the computers too, and all your automobiles.
Everything.
Yeah. All electronics.
Just a thought. Right now, in the other countries that have fallen, if you look at history, it's always a good way of looking at what's happening here. You look back, let's say, even with the days of Hitler. And any other country that went down to socialism or communism, first food, you know, and then finally, once they get the guns, you know, they go after the food. Let's say now, and if anybody knows, and from what I know in Revelation, and with the number of the beast, now, it's apparent that we are going to be around at that time. I mean, I guess there's some that say the rapture will happen before, but if you look on there, it tells, I believe it's in chapter 13, right around here in Revelation, where for us to take heed and to not take that number. That means you can't buy, sell, trade, anything without that number. Now, if something happens to a business, even if we're able to go buy groceries, and we can't. So we need to at least take that message and say, okay, what can we do as a group to help each other out? Mm-hmm. You know, there are seeds to plant.
Yeah.
There's knowledge. There's certain people in here to be able to do certain things. We're not saying, you know, everybody's going to run away with a backpack on their back.
We're not talking about that in the winter.
No, it's just preparing. First, our minds, because that's number one. You got to be strong in the mind to be able to do anything. And then being able to go out. And, you know, some people know how to sew really well. Some people know how to can. All that knowledge is good to spread out. It's spread everywhere. So that times do get tough. We can all help each other out.
Exactly. We're going to need this, you know.
Go ahead, check that. The government and the global
elite.
Yeah, they're already a bit in the process of digitalizing money, and our country now is in the the process of getting rid of the $100 bill, they say, so keep drunk. People can't get rid of a lot of money and then keep track of it, but they're getting rid of a $100 bill, we're going to work down to 15 until everything we do is we won't have money in hand.
We had a vote just in the end of 2015, which we voted against it, the U.S. Small
Arms.
And in one of those agendas on there was the chip. Now, if that would have passed, that chip would have been implemented. It's that close. It's already happening with credit cards. It's already happening with a lot of things. Now, we're that close.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're seeing all of this stuff happening. Who's to say in 2016 that doesn't happen? They're already saying that we need something right now to happen because not only, like Chris was saying, with the drug money and all of that, but scams, internet scams. I'm looking at Anonymous, what they're doing, they're able to go in and hack accounts and all that. All this stuff is happening. They're saying we need to do something because what we have is not working.
That's right.
That's the excuse that's given. That's pretty scary. Now, especially when we know that, you know, could this be the mark of the beast in these last days? Is that something that's,
yeah,
you know, because you won't be able to buy, sell, or anything without this chip? Wow. I mean, you know, there's a possibility. You know, some people can argue and say, oh, there's no way. I don't know. It's right there.
I want to say before we, if we're going to go a little further.
You will.
Go ahead, Jen. I just want to remember, we're on the Lord's side, right? And God is going to take care of us. It's not going to be in some generalized way, though. He speaks to his people, and if his people are obedient, then we reap the goodness of listening to what God tells us to do. If we're obtuse and not listening, if we don't want to go in that direction, we're not listening to the Lord, then we're going to reap the other side of it. We're not going to be prepared. That's why Jesus tells us, be ready, be prepared. And when you see the things that are going to happen in this life, then let's get ourselves prepared. And we have one another. This is what's so great. We have one another, but we got to speak to one another. We've got to be able to trust one another. We've got to be able to love one another and care for one another enough that we're going to be there for each other. That's what's going to get us through, the love of Christ coming through the body of Christ. Okay, Michelle.
I love our conversation some nights because we kind of have a theory. What are we going to do? Just kind of a few different ones. And one is, I have a campground, and don't tell anybody though, guys. But
should put it on the internet.
I have a campsite in Littleton called Living Water. But anyways, we're thinking about getting a post office box and just living there, you know, and hiding out because they can't find us. And then also I have a friend at work that she has a farm down the road, and I've kind of been ministering to her a little bit, and I want to learn how to garden because I think growing vegetables would help. I mean, I want to be able to do that while he's out hunting. So we just little talks about the future, just as simple as that, and, you know, hiding out and where are we going to be and... what are we going to need?
Yeah. And mentally, if you're going, I don't want to talk about this. This is crazy. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. And I'm too old to do this. Or I can't. No. We're going to be there for each other. And what you can't do, somebody else will be able to do. You get this?
Yes.
Well, let's not exclude ourselves out. I want to see all of us, body, soul, and spirit, preserved unto the coming of the Lord. I'd like for that to happen. And it can happen. And don't shut your mind down to something that God might be wanting to say to you to get you at least starting looking at the scripture that Jesus says, be ready. Be ready for his coming. Be ready for these things. Be prepared. Okay? All right. So, Rachel.
I think yes, be prepared for the future, but be prepared for today and what God wants you to do today. Don't look so much in the future that you get caught up there when you're living today.
Yeah, you know, there's always, you're going to always have those kinds of caveats. You know, those are important things to say. You don't want to get so focused that you're not taking care of what needs to be done right now. That's absolutely true, what Rachel just said. Absolutely true. But you can't just be looking at now and not be hearing what God's saying about, I see all these things that are coming up right now. I can prepare for some of that as I do these other things and be prepared for now and for later on. Which is important for you and I, because when things go, when the markets drop, do you think that might happen? That the stock market might crash? Do you think that the financial markets all across the world could just go kaboom? Oh yeah, those things could happen. Could you go to the store one day and there's nothing on the shelves because it's already been cleaned out? I mean, there's all kinds of different things, and it's not to us to be. I'm not sitting there, oh my God, I hope everything works out. I hope I have enough food. No, I'm trusting God. I'm listening to what He tells me to do. Yeah, there's the flow of the Spirit. There's the inspire. When you feel inspired to get some extra food, to have a store for others, for yourself, that's when you do it. You relax, you enjoy God. You don't make it a big thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we have to do these things. Everybody comes up with an excuse not to do these things. And just put it all on God. Well, God will just take care of us. But He speaks to us, and then we do. Yeah. Roland, you had something.
Yeah. Getting back to the money, you take a look at your quarter, and you'll see that this, instead of being all silver like they were, you take a look at it on the side, you see that's copper.
Yeah, there's just a tiny, tiny little bit of it.
Yeah,
and some of them don't even have silver in it.
Yeah. You mean the quarters and the dime.
Rachel?
I'm wondering. We have to remember what Paul said. In Christ I can do all things. It doesn't matter what you have or anything. And I'm not saying don't be prepared. But whatever happens, Christ is with us, and I don't know how to say it. Don't get overwhelmed by bad happenings or anything, because you always have chemistry.
Yeah, you know, when you start talking about these things, and what happens is fear comes up. Fear comes up. You don't have to be fearful about these things. We got Christ. We have Christ. And God will see us through these things. But that doesn't mean we avoid them. And not even think about it. These are things that you have to think about, get it head on, ask God and trust God for what needs to happen, talk to one another, find out how to do certain things so that you're ready for the things that are coming on this earth. This is very practical. All right, Bob.
You know what's going on here? The Holy Spirit's here. He's talking to all of us.
I think so.
Most of us won't say anything, but people are starting to say things, so they are starting to listen to the Holy Spirit, and that's what we need to do, is to listen to the Holy Spirit, and like you said, not just forget about it. And there's a lot of small things that we can do that if the time comes. I mean, we need a place to meet. We need some kind of a plan. We get an EMT or whatever it is, where are we going to meet? How are we going to get here? Where are we going to get our food? People with electric stoves have no electricity.
Right. Yeah, what are we going to do? We need to talk about these things.
We need to kind of, we got to spend a bunch of money or nothing, but we need to be organized to know what's going to happen. All of a sudden the lights go out and there's nothing. No car runs, no nothing. There's probably room for 25 or 30 people in my house. Keep you freezing to death, and you can get where you're going.
Yep.
And different things like that. We probably can come up and feed two or three, a bunch for a few days until you can get back.
We're going to be there for one another. We are, aren't we?
Yes.
Go ahead, Kristen. I think we're going to need to close that.
One thing we are fortunate here in the North Country is we do have a lot of fresh water in springs. You know, compared to Lake New Orleans, when they flooded, you know, they didn't have fresh water. You know, you can die just because of that.
Yeah.
You know, look at what's going on in Michigan. You know, when you're stuck in a city like that, where your water that you get, you're counting on it to be something you can drink, and you can't drink it. You
can't drink it.
You know, so whatever happened, if they lost all their power, the moment you're not in the city, and you have to rely on dirty water, you get no way to boil it unless you know how to make a fire in the room. You know, so we're... The thing is here, it's like, we should really think ahead. Where is there a spring, or who's going to spring where I can get water if I need it, if we don't have electricity?
We do.
You know?
Yeah. Fresh spring.
Going up to Diane's place.
Comes off
we'll
the
see you up there.
I have to tell you something. My grandfather, who lived with us 22 years, he came to live, we lived together in 1960 until 1982, and that man had so much valuable stuff to tell you. And my kids learned so much from him. But the one thing he said before he died was, do not give up that spring. That spring was dug by his grandfather. The first piping that came down was a log, and it was hollowed out, and the water came through that until my dad was in high school. And then they put copper pipes, right? And then we changed it to plastic. So it was changed three times in the course of how many years? 100 years. Yeah. And then he said, do not get rid of my wood stove. Do not get rid of it. Well, I hate to say this. This last year, we had to put it in the barn because there were so many cracks in it, Raymond thought the house would burn down. So we put another wood stove in there. But do you see the knowledge that comes from
yes.
old people?
Yeah.
And he taught us to do the garden, which the kids said, do we have to do this? And they learned how. Those are valuable things.
On his deathbed, remember yep. the last thing he said, save the seeds.
Save the seeds. Save the seeds, because it's going to come a time when you cannot.
Yep.
It will not grow the next year. Like, you know how you put it in your house and get them dry?
Well, they're genetically modified, so you can't take this seed from that plant and plant it next year. Yeah.
They're even starting on TV commercials to sit there and advertise how good GMO is.
Yeah, right.
But,
yeah,
this is knowledge that we're very fortunate up here. Because we can do what Grandpa said. And what he said was so true unto the Lord, to keep us able to live. You know? It's just unbelievable, really.
Okay. Good.
You know, years ago, when we lived out here in Dummer, we had that ice storm. And we lost our power. And God bless Raymond, because he ran around a generator, and so that people could plug in their freezers. So I kind of like, that was always kind of like in the back of my mind, and I was working at the Yoko, and all of a sudden, cherries that we always got in gallon jars, they started sending them in half gallon jars. And as many of you know, you've gotten soup from me, a lot of you, in those half gallon glass jars with little white tops. And just by chance, when I was fixing somebody that was getting probably Steve and Melinda, because I always sent them a bigger jar, I would turn them upside down, and when I right side it up, they sealed. Mm-hmm. And so they were like canned. Yeah. So that was kind of like in the back of my mind. So over the years, I started collecting those jars. And I literally, I'm not joking, I have well over 100. People laugh at me or whatever my sister did. Because it also, we were getting Coke at that time, those red Coke cases, and we have to pull six of those jars perfectly. And if anybody comes to my garage, they go in and they look and they see the stack of these Coke things with these jars. And even some of us that are close to me laugh. But anyway, I got to thinking, I said, you know, if we ever lost the power in Gorm, I think of the massive amount of food that is just in the Yokohama that would go bad with no power. So I saved my old canners. I gave a couple away that I still have, where a wood stove, I could can, and I have those jars. And I thought, you know what, I don't care if people laugh or not, I've got those jars, And if disaster should happen for a while, a lot of food that would go bad, we would be able to save because we could can them.
Yeah.
And so I just say, well, lots of, and I got the last laugh on my sister because lo and behold, they stopped doing those in half gallons. And she uses those for some sauces. And she had to break down and ask me. She said, you don't have to have an extra one of those cherry jars, do you?
I said, I do.
So it was cute. But anyway, so that's my story.
Okay.
So
I
had a plan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Roll on then, sir.
I was reading, I don't know where it was in my Bible, but the Lord was saying, I will bless your well.
Ah, yeah.
I will bless your well.
Yeah. Yeah. And he will. He's gonna bless us. We have to be up. We have to be inspired by what God is going to do, what He's doing in our lives. We can trust Him. Can't we?
Yeah.
We can trust Him, but not in a generalized trust. We're going to trust Him for we see the things that are coming up, and we know that He's going to prepare us. And preparation usually takes some time, so we should be ahead of the curve before these things start happening, which means now is the time that we need to be thinking about these things and asking God and getting direction and talking to our brothers and sisters and see what they're doing and get inspired through what they do too. We want to be ready for what's coming upon the earth, don't we?
Yeah.
And I want all of us to be involved in being able to be preserved, body, soul, and spirit. All right, so, and then we're going to close.
Well, just words of encouragement. I feel like God's saying, you know, like, our body here, we're already working towards that. We're a small body, but we're generous. We have God's heart. We have Him speaking to us already. We encourage one another. We give when we need to give. When there's a need, we reach out. And you know, all of us, I mean, a lot of us here are already involved with other churches in the area.
Yeah.
You know, and they're different than us, but we're reaching out. You know, like Michelle's involved. There's a whole bunch of us, you know, that are involved. We have unity worship. And we already have a heart for one another.
Yes.
And I feel like we're transparent in everything. And I, you know, we do encourage one another.
Yes.
So I know that God is already working in our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, and His work is already starting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know where it's going to go, but God does, and He will make a way where the world might say there's no way.
That's right.
Okay? All right.
Don't want to forget 1 Corinthians 12.
Yeah, all about the body and the body of Christ and what each. All right, this is it. Steve is going to have the last thing to say, and then we're going to close the service. Unless, you know, something comes through the ceiling.
Isaiah 31 says something to the effect of whatever plans you make, make sure they aren't contrary to His